Hey, morning, neighbor.
Morning, Sean.
How you doing today, Dor? Beautiful day out, isn't it?
I'm doing great. It is beautiful indeed.
Yeah, everything except for that house across the street. Did you hear what's going on at that Klopex house?
I heard some noises. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. It was awfully loud and a lot of bright lights coming out of there. I'm going to have to keep my eye on that thing the next few days. Hey, you have yourself a nice day. Nicole's got some breakfast ready for me. I got to head in, but I want to show you something real quick before I head in. Hold on a sec. Check this out. No tan lines.
Oh, man.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is episode 8. This week we're doing the 1989 film The Burbs starring Tom Hanks and a whole bunch of other people. But first let me introduce the hosts here. We have Steve Cherubino. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, Sean?
Not much. Just ready to review this awesome movie. And also we have with us the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. What's up, Dor?
Hey, Dirty, just looking forward to another week of a classic movie.
Yeah, this was a good one. It was a nice break, nice comedy, a little later than some of the other movies doing, 1989, so we're getting close to that 90s. But
Can't get any closer.
Yeah, just stand right under.
And I would say, you said comedy? I don't know. I mean, this movie is just, to me, it was just weird enough to be almost a unique unto its own self thing. Because it had comedy parts to it, but it was just different. Very different.
So it would be in like the different section if you wanted to go rent it?
I guess. Or like Como Day or something. I don't know.
What? Oh, Como Day.
I don't know.
Or a diff-com.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it definitely had comedic aspects, but it was just weird enough to be out there.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about it today. This is probably the closest I will get to horror films. I'm not a fan of horror films, so this is enough for me.
If this was the closest, and that's, yeah, you're worse than me.
Well, what I mean is, I watch horror films with my wife, but I don't go out of my way to watch horror films. I never go out of my way to watch horror films, and this actually has an actor that's in one of the horror films that freaked me out as a kid. I still don't like it to this day. So yeah, it's about as creepy as I like to get myself. Okay. And, you know, it really wasn't creepy. My kids watched it. They enjoyed it. And it's funny because I didn't think my kids saw it before. I must force them to watch a lot of stuff because my oldest boy was like, "Dad, isn't that the movie with the chainsaw and the guy coming out of the, I'm like, "No, what are you talking about?" And sure enough, it is. I'm like, "Wow, he's right. He remembers." So, but,
they have good memories.
Yeah, they definitely remember all the movies that we watch. And I can't remember what I watch with them half the time. So, but yeah, this is definitely a good movie, I thought. But it's The Burbs, as I said, and it's the story of this nice neighborhood that just goes bad, I guess you would say, because of one neighbor.
Yeah. So. I think I would say this was the beginning of the movement of first world problems. Before this, I don't think that term existed. And I think this movie defined first world problems because they were worrying about something nobody else in their right mind was even worrying about.
They were?
Well, I mean, yeah, I was going to say what.
Oh, they were worried about their neighbors being killers. Who worries about that? Do you worry about that?
Not if they don't look like, none of my neighbors look like killers. If they did, I would worry.
Well, I think we've all learned from the news media, we don't know what they look like because everybody always says, "Well, he was such a nice boy." No, but I mean, he always helped me with the lawn. They never say, well, you look like a serial killer.
Yeah. But it definitely is a movie. I mean, you can kind of relate to in most neighborhoods. You know, you got the lawn crazy guy, and, you know, there is that one house. Usually it may not be as, you know, dramatic as the Klopax house, but there's always that one little house somewhere in the neighborhood that, you know, stands out for the wrong reasons.
Right. And then we always have the lady that's really hot in the neighborhood. There's always one.
Yeah, I guess.
Sometimes they're girls, but, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a typical neighborhood.
Yeah, typical suburbia. What is it, like upper middle class?
Yeah. Yeah, and I like, in hindsight, the really bad zoom in from outer space. I could not tell, though, what state they were supposed to be in. And I really did rewind it and look and try to figure out what state they were in. And it was like, I don't know, could have been Illinois, could have been Ohio. I'm not sure.
You know what? I didn't even pay attention to that, really. I did notice the flying. I thought that was really kind of cool, how it just comes from space and zooms right into the town. But I didn't even try to pinpoint it. Was it like a Midwestern?
I think it was Midwest, slightly east, south of the Great Lakes, which, of course, could be anywhere.
Well, you pretty much got it pretty close. I thought the fly-in was cheesy. I mean, it's just overdone, I think. But I thought the same thing as Door, but for some reason, by the time we actually hit the Earth, my attention was wandering somewhere else off, so I didn't quite see. But I thought about it when they were flying in. I'm like, where is this place?
Yeah, I forgot about that fly-in, but that... Great segue into a review that you bring that up, because that is the opening, and after that it's nighttime, and we have our main character, who is Ray Peterson, who's played by Tom Hanks, and his wife Carol, who is none other Carrie Fisher,
Princess Leia. And it's honestly, I'm not gonna lie, it took me like 20 minutes of seeing her to realize, oh, we're watching this because it has Princess Leia in it.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that the whole movie.
She still looks good.
Are you serious?
She did.
You know, she did, yeah. I mean, I know she had a lot of, you know, drug and alcohol issues, I think.
Did she really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, again, yeah. If you're a princess, you have, like, unlimited access to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you know, they're pampered, and they get what they want, and they got to rebel against their parents, mm-hmm. because you know, they
Hilton.
Have everything.
She was like Paris. Yeah.
And they get haircuts.
I know. I want to see her with long hair. Did you notice the cheesy My Bodyguard music playing in the beginning? I think after the 80s ended, that's when they put the end to that.
Yeah. Well, it came right after this, the opening scene.
Oh, okay. Like go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah,
because he gets woken up, and that's how we're introduced to the Klopek house. Because he gets woken up and goes outside to like investigate. And I like how when he goes over the house, I mean, it's the typical like looks like a haunted type mansion-y house. It definitely doesn't fit in the neighborhood. It looks older than anything there, even being that the fact that it's, you know, run down, it still looks like it has a real old feel.
Yeah.
And as he crosses like their lawn, and the wind starts coming up and the leaves are all dead, and you know, really sets the mood of the movie, of this house being such a, you know, main feature of the movie and what's in it. Because there's like, do we see like the noise or hear the noise and the lights at this point in the basement?
There's noise and lights, and it's really loud, which would mean, I don't know, that would arouse my suspicion as well.
Oh, definitely. And the other neighbor, too, the army guy, what was it, Rumsfeld? He's up in his window. He notices him out. So that was a nice opening. And then, yeah, like you said, it cuts to it reminded me, like you said, of My Bodyguard. The kid, not on a 10-speed, but he's on – now it's a mountain bike. We're later on in the 80s. So now, you know, 10-speeds aren't as big of a deal like they were in the early 80s. The mountain bike became more of the thing. And, you know, the typical neighborhood paper boy throwing his papers. Yep. And that's when we meet basically the whole entire neighborhood characters that are going to be in it. And the first character we see after the paper boy is Walter, the old guy. And I'm going to assume you guys don't recognize him from anything.
I surely don't.
All right. Okay, so it's obvious because of the show and other stuff. I like old shows. When I don't even know how old it was. It was back when I was a young teenager, probably. One summer, I used to watch Dennis the Menace, the original black and white Dennis the Menace show. And he played Mr. Wilson, one of the Mr. Wilsons.
He did?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played the second Mr. Wilson, who I believe... Or get my Dennis the Menace facts wrong, but I think he was like the brother-in-law or something like that.
I didn't even know
that,
there was multiple Mr. Wilsons.
Yeah, there was two. So yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's Mr. Wilson. That's awesome. And he's the crazy dude, or not the crazy guy, but he's the old guy who lets his dog crap all over the neighborhood. Exactly. So he doesn't, you know, because he's, you know, he gets the lawn sprayed. You know, every all the time.
Yeah, he
by
trains
the lawns
his dog to go on other lawns.
yeah. So Ray, Tom Hanks, he's just kind of watching everything, right? As he gets his paper or something, we meet all the, like I said, all the characters. I think after that, we meet like Ricky, which I don't know. That was Corey Feldman?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's playing a typical Corey Feldman character.
Exactly. Perfect casting for him. Perfect, because that was him.
It was, but he was too over the top of a spaz, especially when the pizza dude was coming. And like that's like the best thing that ever happened in the neighborhood. Pizza dude's coming. I mean, he was just too over the top. It was
slap because he's pulling out the paint. His parents are gone, or somebody's gonna paint the porch or something. Yeah, he's like dumping paint all over the speakers. Yeah. And I got to be honest, I really was gonna leave him out of the notes. But I kind of had to put him in certain
areas. Why
were
we going to leave him out?
Because honestly, to me, I thought the character was didn't even need to be there.
I mean, that was this like court, this circle, cul-de-sac was a blend of very unique characters. You know, so he had to be a little bit nuts.
I think it's more of what, Steve, what you said. He was a little over the top. It was, you know. Because I liked the acting in this movie. It was a comedy movie or whatever we're going to classify it as. I just thought he was a little over the top, so he kind of annoyed me. But
yeah. I think if he wasn't too over the top, it would have been just fine.
Yeah, so we meet the Rumsfelds.
In a very pleasant way, we meet them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got the neighborhood trophy wife. She comes out in her like little... teddy or something, right? Like a silk teddy.
So
and
skimpy.
Yeah, and he's putting up the flag because he's obviously a retired, you know, army or some sort of military
lieutenant. He's a lieutenant. Get it right.
All right. And he's everything he does, like all his every piece of clothes, it's always military based. I mean, to the point where it's like, okay, come on. It's
exactly
a little over the top, but that's getting, you know, that's the character they want. And then I think we meet, Art. I love Art.
How can you not love Art?
Best character in this entire movie, followed by Tom Hanks,
I can tell you now, if there was no Art in this movie or if that guy was not cast as this character, I don't know if I would like the movie. I'll just say that Art was a guy who I liked.
It's true. He stole the show. I mean, this is a Tom Hanks movie and I think he outplayed him.
Every scene.
Well, yeah, because, well, I don't know about every scene, but because, yeah, Tom Hanks was playing more of a
straight guy.
Straight lace. Yeah. And this guy really kind of took the part that you would think would be a Tom Hanks role. Yeah. Very goofy and just out there. You know, the guy was like, you know, conspiracy type guy.
Oh, yeah. He was, I just loved his enthusiasm for what he considered to be facts. These are facts, Ray. You know?
Yeah, yeah. He had very little regard whether they were true or not.
Right.
And he loved to eat. I loved the first scene where he's like, you know, he shoots Tom Hanks' house by accident, and then the first thing he says to him is, are you guys eating in there? Yeah. And then he just comes in and raids their fridge. He pulls a pineapple out and starts eating all their
food. Some ribs. Ask him, are you going to finish those eggs?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I got to ask you, when he started tearing into those ribs, the thought of like nice marinated barbecued with some charcoal cold ribs, just, I was watching it, man. And I was just like, I could go for some leftover cold ribs out of the fridge.
Honestly, as soon as that scene started, I literally had to stop watching the movie. I got hungry because I'm like,
you had to go eat.
What'd you do? Did you go eat?
Yeah. I said to the wife, I said, we got to do something for dinner. Because I'm just too hungry now. Because it was the ribs just looked good.
Yeah, they did.
The pineapple confused the hell out of me, but the ribs looked good.
Yeah, that was, I noticed that today, rewatching it, that he had the whole, not even like cut up pineapple, just a whole entire pineapple. And I believe he also had a new canister, like a new container of syrup, because he ran through all the syrup.
He killed it, yeah.
So he comes out with syrup, tinfoil ribs, and a whole pineapple.
And the whole time, just yapping his jaw.
Now, I don't know if you noticed, like, when... Just before that, when he's creeping up the chute, I noticed today, too, he had the checkerboard Vans, the slip-on Vans shoes.
Did he?
Yeah, they were awesome. Because I know Dora used to skate when you were younger. Yeah.
Well, see, I loved him coming out of the tree line with branches over his body with the dog. I think with the dog just yapping away at him, barking, barking, barking. And he's just walking by the dog like he doesn't even see him. Takes what I think is a .22 rifle, trying to hit a raven, shoots the head off an owl statue, shoots like two or three more times, finally almost hits Tom Hanks in the side of the head. It's like, this guy shouldn't have a gun.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Yeah.
And basically to set the mood as far as like Ray and his wife, he's on vacation. And, you know, just prior to this, or while this is going on, the creeping in the yard, they're kind of bickering. She wants to go get the cottage, you know, call and rent the cottage. He wants to stay home. It, totally typical guy. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, a lot of times I just want to...
Thank you.
Just stay home and do nothing. I mean, once you get... Because, let's be honest, you don't win those battles and you get forced to do something. And then, for me at least, I'm like, all right, I'm glad I did it, but the idea and the anticipation of having to do something.
Yeah.
I'd rather just.
Steve isn't married. My idea of a vacation is the family going down to Disney World for even 2 weeks, having a blast, doing pools, doing rides, doing dinners while I'm at home. That's my idea of a vacation.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm that extreme. Oh, I'd want to go too.
No, don't get me wrong.
I know what you.
Maybe only every 3 years to have that happen, but just once in a while.
Yeah, I just like the idea of going. I don't have to work. I just want to laze around. You know, take the entire week I'm off to do like two things,
exactly,
and feel like I accomplished something. You know, and my wife will be like, "What are you doing? You got the whole entire week up. Get that fence up." You know, I remember talking to you, Dor, last year on Voxer as I'm putting fence posts in and sending you pictures, and it's like 90 degrees and you're dying.
Yeah.
So I can understand where he was coming from, that he didn't want to go. And then here comes like one of my favorite scenes is, we go outside and, the Rumsfelds are out there. I don't remember what he was doing because I wasn't paying attention, but I know she
exactly.
was planting flowers, and Ricky comes out and he's, you know, just hitting on his wife, flirting with Mrs. Rumsfeld.
I mean, she was wearing like unbelievably hot pants, short shorts, bending over, working in the garden with her rear end facing right towards Ricky. There wouldn't be a whole lot of painting going on in my house. I'll just say that.
And he was just staring, like, no problem doing that in front of her husband.
Yeah, I mean, and that outfit to me, I don't know, I guess it is like in a late 80s, maybe early 90s, just kind of outfit, but it was weird.
It's not
it was like
a gardening outfit. Maybe a roller skating like, outfit or something.
Plus, plus, she was wearing high heels.
Yeah.
Which she wears throughout the whole movie.
It reminded me more of like a 70s type outfit, I guess, but he comments
she wore it well.
He comments to her, yes, that no tan lines this morning, and she just gives him a smirk and
well,
you know,
and she
likes the attention.
Well, and obviously so did he, her husband. Because he didn't get mad or anything.
Yeah, he did. He said that kid over there is a meatball.
Yeah, meatball. Yeah. Come on. He could have said a lot worse or thrown something at him or told him to stop looking. He just said, he's a meatball. That ain't bad.
Yeah, so that was a great part. Nice way to portray the trophy wife there to the neighborhood.
Right.
But so then we get our first look at, you know, who comes out of the house. The house, at the Klopek house, is we find out later his name is Hans.
Yeah.
But he comes out.
And I just loved, loved, loved the back and forth bickering between Ray and Art. Because they were trying to egg each other to go up and say hi. Why don't you go say hi? Why don't you go say hi? Well, he is your neighbor. Well, he is your neighbor too. Yeah, but with you, there's like a property line. Well, you're just right across the street. Well, just go up and say, and they just kept going.
Art was making a very good case for himself to not be the one that has to go up there, I thought.
Yeah.
Because he was not as close. He didn't share property.
Because Ray is the one that he'll come to borrow a tool or something like that.
Right.
He lives right next door, right? And the whole neighborhood is just kind of like...
They're all staring at him.
Yeah, and Hans is like...
Yeah, focused.
And Hans is just looking around like, everybody is looking right at me. Even Walter. And I love the fact that they zoomed in on everybody's eyes looking at Hans, and they even zoomed in on the dog's eyes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great.
Yeah. And they finally do they agree to go up together. That scene is just that scene's great. Again, Art falls into the porch, and that's like something you would expect the Tom Hanks type of acting to be.
Right.
Right.
You know, and
like Money Pit style where he falls through the floor.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a great movie. So yeah, that was a good scene. Of course, they end up getting out of there because the bees or hornets or whatever chase them out and
run to the water. Run to the water. Guy has a hose, tries to run with the hose. Hose ain't longer than he thinks it is. Bam, lands on his butt and sprays them all down. Just like, come on, guys. They're bees.
Yeah. And then the one that just happens to crawl out of Art's mouth.
Yeah.
It's very dramatic, look, focusing in of the bee coming out of his mouth. So yeah, that was a good scene and a good introduction to one of the Klopeks in the house.
What kind of name is that? Is that a Slow Ovanic, or what do they keep saying? They kept saying the same thing.
Well, at first he's like, Ray, what is that?
Yeah.
When he comes out, not even who is that? And this is the character, or this is the actor of that plays, I believe, Malachi in Children of the Corn.
Ah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Hated him, man. He was creepy. Creepy. That's such a scary movie, man. But we're going to do it. I'm trying to get my wife to do that episode because she's the horror lover. So
good,
and I know Steve doesn't like.
Saying. I don't want to do it.
So would you do it if she won't do it?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Oh, would I do it? Probably. I wouldn't want to. I might take one for the team, but you would owe me one.
You'd be like, dude, we got to record during the day. But we cut to the nighttime, the evening, and they're telling stories, Ray, Art, and the kid, Ricky, because anyways, Ray gets in an argument with his wife. Still about this cottage thing, and he does another thing that, you know, you would see the typical guy husband do in a movie where he's going to walk the dog, but he's really going to sneak off to have a puff on a cigar or something.
Yeah. She should just leave him alone. Let him do what he wants, man.
See, Steve doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Like we said, Steve's not married, so he doesn't understand the compromises that have to be made.
Marriage?
What compromise? It's his vacation. She doesn't even want him to do work. She just doesn't want him to go crazy.
Steve, if you look up the definition of marriage in a proper dictionary, it will say compromise. That's what it is.
I believe in compromise, but she should leave him alone. It's not like she's not trying to get him to do any work. She wants him to relax, and all he wants to do is relax at his house.
Yeah, but if you look at it from the wife's point of view, you know, okay, so it's his vacation, but it's really their vacation. You know what I mean? They have a kid.
Nothing
it's
is
their
his
vacation.
Anymore.
Well, I mean, it's rightfully so. I mean, for vacation, generally, that's how it goes. I don't know. Maybe I'm trained well.
Very.
I think both of you are.
No, it's life.
Both of you are.
It's life. You got to pick battles, man. I said this in the last Android Apex, man. You got to pick battles. If you try to pick every battle, you will lose miserably.
I'm not saying pick every battle.
You'll be horrible. You just can't. There are things more important than vacation time. Like getting beer. Drinking beer.
So that's your battle is what you're saying? You would play the beer battle?
I'm just saying that for the show. Here was the thing I thought was weird. Art was hanging out front with the kid. I mean,
I know.
How old was he supposed to be?
Drinking beer.
Drinking beer. How old was this kid supposed to be?
I don't know. I assumed he was supposed to be like a 17-year-old kid.
Same
His
here.
Parents were out of the way. That's why I put a question mark after Ricky as to if he was a kid or not. But, you know, Art's kind of, I guess, the goofy laid-back neighbor. Because his wife's not there either. He points that out earlier in the movie when he's having breakfast. You know, he almost chokes on his food. He's like, you're going to make me sick because because his wife went to go see his mother-in-law, and he's like, didn't want to go.
Yeah.
He doesn't like, Art does not, I don't think, doesn't like his wife.
Yeah, that's what I gather.
So, yeah, they're hanging out there, and they start telling stories about creepy stuff. You know, Ricky's assuming that this could be the gateway to hell, this house. But I love the story that Art tells about Skip, the ice pick murderer, which plays in later in the movie. You know, he tells a story about how this guy, Skip, worked at a soda fountain, right, in a drugstore, and just went and lost it. Ended up killing his family and everything.
And just left him in the house.
Yeah. So he tells a whole story about it. And it's like one of those things. Every town has their, you know, their legend stories of what happened. Who knows how true it is. Maybe there was a guy named Skip that killed his family. But I'm sure it's been twisted just like every other local story. But so they're telling this story, and Ricky kind of makes like a boo or something and scares Ray. And I love this part, just timing of when this movie was, how Art is like, ooh, easy there, Spud Webber, or jump a little higher, Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's great.
So, and for, you know, if we have younger listeners that don't know Spud Webb, he was basically like he was a pro basketball player. I have no idea what team, I don't know, but he was a shorter guy.
Well, I think he was pretty much average size to normal people, but in the NBA, he was basically a midget.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
And he could dunk.
Oh, yeah. He was crazy, man. Crazy, crazy hops he had.
But I just thought it was a nice time stamp on this movie when I caught that. So, and then Ray ends up going home, but Art can't leave him alone. And I love this part. You know, he's like, Ray's in there watching Jeopardy with his wife, having family time.
And dude, it was great. They both had pieces of paper and pencils. That's another sign of the time for me. They would sit there with pieces of paper and pencils and watch Jeopardy and keep their own score between them. Dude, first off, I can't do that, okay? I would lose horribly to my wife. I mean, horribly. So I can't even, I'm not doing that. No, can't.
Yeah, it just I like how he was sneaking out of the window and like calling him and ducking when Carol would look over. She was totally on to it.
Of course, she ain't stupid.
You know, the guy is just so not stealthy at all. You know, he's a dork. And they end up going out there and they end up hearing the three, because it's the three of them. Rumsfeld is out there, Ray and Art together, and they're watching the Klopek house and they start hearing the noise again and the lights blasting out of the basement.
Was this weird? The lieutenant brought out a infrared scope. I mean, dude, this guy is ready. He brought out the military grade night vision tools to like watch the house. It's like these guys are already taking it very serious.
Well, yeah, he's got the whole army surplus in his garage, I'm sure.
Obviously, yeah.
So this was the part they had they were planning. They had a little plan that was going to happen that night. Were they going to go in the house or just watch it? I can't remember.
I think they were just watching it.
Okay.
And then everything started happening, and then that's when Hans drives the car.
Yeah.
To dump the garbage at the
and
at the
no
curb
headlight.
I wrote that in the notes because the way he's just like pointing out the obvious, like he's made this huge discovery. There's no headlights on it. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And the fact of how Hans is just going nuts trying to get the garbage bag into the can to fit, giving you that idea that there's like a body in there, which is what they're all thinking.
Yeah, he takes this huge bag out of the trunk and just smashes it into this trash can with what, a hoe? I think it was a hoe.
I don't know what it was, but he was...
Hoe or a shovel or something.
He was going ballistic.
Best line, my best favorite line in the movie, this was a Tom Hanks line. After it happened, and Hans goes back inside, Tom Hanks is like, I've never seen that before. I've never seen anybody drive their trash to the curb and beat the hell out of it with a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Safe to say, yeah.
That was definitely a funny scene.
That was a good old Tom Hanks. That was like his best line in the movie, I think.
I don't know.
I like some at the end.
He did get a little crazy at the end.
Because he does that well, where he kind of goes a little off in movies. He kind of gets a little very animated, very excited.
Yeah.
He does that,
he gets
that very well.
At the wrong point in time and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, he just goes off.
And gets set off.
Yeah.
Yes. So the next morning, they're going to investigate the garbage, and the garbage man comes.
Oh,
and again, like, this movie was just full of actors. Like, I don't know everyone's name, but every single person in this movie I've seen before.
Well, two trash guys. One of the guys was the horrible holographic doctor on Star Trek Voyager. That's the only show I can tell you I know him from, but he's been in everything. He was the taller guy with the glasses. Been in every.
He was in Inner Space.
Yes.
As what?
He was the cowboy or something.
Yeah.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
I just saw that movie recently.
Yeah.
Did you hear how when Art came running out of the house to stop the garbage truck? Did you hear what he was yelling?
Trash A's or something.
Garbies.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. And they both, and then he literally got in the back of the truck. Going through the trash, and then the Lou tenant comes out. Both of the guys tell him, stop this guy from what he's doing. And of course he doesn't. He hops in the back of the trash truck too.
They don't both do it. Because the garbage guy with the glasses is like, well, you know, technically the law states that once your garbage is taken to the curb, it's public
domain.
You know,
domain?
Yeah, it's something like that. Like it's anybody's stuff because he's dumping the garbage out as well, and the other guy's getting ticked off.
But the lieutenant was in the back of the truck too.
Yeah, they both hopped in there because then the lieutenant was telling the other garbage guy how he's going to pick it up. I thought they were going to get in a fight.
Yeah, because we pay taxes, which pays your job. Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's a good scene. You would not find me. Diving in the back of a dumpster like that,
and when he gets out, he's totally clean. No stains on his shirt at all.
Yeah.
Well, it was like all papers, and there was like an
empty. It's a trash truck, dude.
No, I know.
He would have been.
But when he was
messed up.
When he was dumping the first bags, they were like super light.
Yeah.
You know, some egg cartons and some paper,
exactly.
A Tide box. You know,
it was Hollywood.
People would use
Hollywood
powder.
Trash.
So. That was funny, and that's when the dog comes running up.
Yeah.
And the trophy wife picks up the dog.
Yeah, I think the dog's name was Fifi for some reason.
Queenie, I think it was. I think it was Queenie, yeah. And they know it's Walter's dog, so they all go over to take Walter's dog back, and that was funny. They see something moving in there. It's Rumsfeld's already in there.
Exactly.
What do you say, a soldier's always ready or something like that?
Something like that, which is gold.
Art goes to get food out of the fridge.
Of course.
I love when he's holding out the plate of cookies and Corey Feldman comes busting through the door and smashes him to bits.
What did Art put in his pocket that Ray
lighter.
Was like, really, you're going to steal?
Lighter.
Was it a lighter?
Yeah. He's like, what are you talking about? They're all going to be sold at a a state auction.
It was a lighter. That was it.
Yeah, because he just lit his stogie.
Yeah, and then threw it in his pocket. But the TV's on. You know, there's no Walter.
The chair's turned over. There's a sign of a struggle, as they say.
Yes. And there's a rat in the kitchen. Just, yeah. And they, which then they just, they figure out it's actually Walter's toupee.
Right.
So,
which I believe Lou Tenet said, you know, these guys, these old guys, they don't go anywhere without these things. Because, you know, he's old. He should know.
Yeah, so that's just playing more into, like, you know, now they're starting to think that something's bad's happening. Probably the Klopex are involved.
Right.
And so Ray's going to take the dog, and it is great. He's outside, you know, locking up the door, whatever, and writing a note and throwing it under the door.
He was going to write a good note to start. And then he ended up just saying,
I have your dog.
Walter, I have your dog.
Yeah, and then he turns around and sees one of the other Klopex at the house or something. So he's been seen by a Klopex writing this note, which definitely plays in it just in a little while into the movie.
Right.
But now the Ray and Art, they have that conversation in the basement.
Love it.
You know,
once they get in your mind, it's over.
Yeah, because he's convinced, Art's convinced these guys are Satan worshippers. And, you know, Walter was a satanic
sacrifice.
and he's, you know, he's given all this stuff. I don't remember exactly what he was saying. And I love how Tom Hanks is just kind of like chanting, you know, I'm not going to listen to this. Or and then Ray, like, or Art points out
Ray, you're speaking in tongues.
Yeah, or he's like, you're chanting. That, you know, once they get in your head, you know. So he's convinced that they're evil, and which Ray tells Carol. He talks to Carol.
What's wrong with him?
Well,
doesn't he even bring over the book? I'm not sure.
Yes, they're in bed getting ready to go to sleep. He obviously gave her the book and explained everything to her. And she's like, so you're telling me our neighbors are devil worshippers, and they sacrifice human beings? And he's like, well, that's one of the theories.
She's just like entertaining him by listening.
Yeah.
Because she still wants to go to the cottage.
Yeah. And then she gets up to go to the bathroom or something, and he's watching, I think it was Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, all these horrible, like, horror movies, back to back to back to back, switching.
They're
the
on
channels.
Like every channel.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, this can't be good. This can't be good. This is just feeding his frenzy.
Yeah, I didn't know what the first one was, but I know it was Exorcist, and then or Texas Chainsaw and Exorcist.
Right.
But I don't know what the first one was.
Can't remember.
I'm sure some cult, you know, classic or something. Which, you know, then when he falls asleep, he starts having his nightmare.
Love it.
Which is the part that my son was talking about.
Yeah, I love it, because
that he remembered.
He was coming. Well, he woke up, quote unquote. She wasn't in bed. He starts coming downstairs, Carol, and a chainsaw comes through the wall and just so happens to go in the exact spot to split a picture hanging on the wall of him and his wife right down the middle. Just the chainsaw just happened to come right between those two, which I think is a sign of, you know, this is coming between them kind of thing.
I didn't even make that.
Oh, I caught that. And then he like fell over the stairs, landed, and looked down, and there was smoke coming from out of the fireplace. And then it like fades to Carol at the top of the stairs saying, Ray, thank you for inviting our new neighbors over for a barbecue. And they like drag.
Yeah, she looked good in that in that part. And the best part I thought of this scene was when Art came out as Skip.
Thank you.
You know, the ice pick killer that he was talking about earlier in the movie.
Right.
That I thought was great. The way they had that little mustache on him, he had the paper hat on, and
he even told Ray, he's like, look, I'm not really skipping. But I'm just playing him. What did he say? I'm just acting like him.
Something like that. Yeah, that was pretty, that was funny.
Right.
I liked that scene.
And this was,
and then,
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and this is like insight into his head. So you can see all of this festering in his head, which is just making him believe more and more and more and more and more of these neighbors are psycho, satanic, ritualistic, sacrificial killers.
Yeah. And when he wakes up, like Mr. Rogers is playing.
Yep.
And he's in bed with his orange shoes.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Well, I'm going, this is part of the, like, he's, you know how they do that, like you're in a dream, mm-hmm. and then oh, everything's normal, but it's actually a dream because something else is gonna pop. Like I was waiting for something to happen. It just seemed like that to me, like that's what they were gonna do, like something else was gonna come out of the bathroom or something, right. So I'm like,
I love how he was singing along with Mr. Rogers. That's awesome. Right. Like he's mouthing the words, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, mouthing. He wasn't even singing. Right. He was just like mouthing. And sipping on his orange juice.
OJ, right. And then he picked up the control and he was getting ready to change the TV and he was just to the point where he didn't care. And he just took the remote and like started to point at the TV and went, whatever.
Yeah, because at this point he's just like beat down by the whole stress of everything, I think.
Yeah.
Because the guys come over to get him again in the morning.
Oh, great scene.
You know, just like when you're a kid, you know, in the summertime, your buddies would come over in the morning. It's a typical feeling of that. And his wife acts like the mother, you know, look, he ain't coming out to play.
I love this because when she turned them down from up on the deck, Art acted just like a 13-year-old kid and like kicked a pebble on the ground or something and was like, oh.
Well, yeah, because he kind of silences and looks away before you even see her come into the picture, as if he sees her coming.
Yeah.
It was perfect timing on that.
Yeah,
that was that was a funny, definitely a funny scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Getting shunned away by Princess Leia,
and that was the indicator. I think the first indicator to he doesn't want her to know everything that's going on. Like not so loud. You know, but they were just blabbing away. Come on, come on, come on. You know.
Hey, when did Ray see them digging in the backyard in the rainstorm? Was that when he was watching the TV with the Texas Chainsaw? Or did not that scene not happen yet? Because I could have sworn it did.
I think it's getting ready to.
You know what? I'm trying to place that now. It was after. I'm not sure.
It was one night. I think we missed it. But because the next scene we're going to be talking about would show that would have happened.
Yeah, because he tells the guys that he saw him digging, they saw them digging in the backyard.
Right.
But yeah, so it's now that Ray can't go out and play, Art and Rumsfeld is, they go over to the house to slip a note to tell them that they know what they're up to and everything. And
we know what you've done.
Yeah, we know what you've done. And they, so after they do that, they tell Ray about it, and Ray gets all ticked off at Art because he's like, they saw me put a note under Walter's door. So now he's like, great. And, you know, now they're going to totally pin it on me.
And I love how he picks up those beer cans and just squeezes them. That was a typical Tom Hanks moment.
Yeah.
He's so mad. He just takes a moment and just goes into a little rage and squeezes two beer cans and throws them on the ground.
As classic. The dog's digging in the background.
Yep. Right.
And as they're talking, Arch throwing a bone to the dog and ends up being a human bone.
A femur.
Dug from under the fence on Clopin's
side. I know,
side.
But this is what I loved. He's like, it's a femur. He said, are you sure? Sure. I took biology 101. Like he's some frigging specialist or something. You know? It's just more of Art. I just loved Art.
Yeah, he was awesome in this movie. And then the note, like a paper, gets thrown over the fence and it ends up being the note that they just put under the door.
So he freaks out more.
Because they obviously think it's from him as well. And they throw the note the note back over. So his wife is just like kind of fed up. Like, come on, let's go meet these people. We should have done this before, you know, and they're going to go over and meet the, introduce themselves to the Klopex. And, the trophy wife offers to take the brownies. And I like how she tells Art, you're not coming. You're not allowed to, go over and be part of this whole introduction. Because she obviously, you can tell she does not, she has a distaste for art as it is. Even when he was overeating the entire kitchen, she was just kind of giving looks like, oh my God, get out of here.
Right.
She doesn't like him. So when they get there and Hans opens the door, I love how they just invite themselves. They don't even wait. They just kind of, hey, how you doing? Here's some brownies, and walk in the house.
Yeah.
Like they're all this big friendly neighbors or whatever.
Yeah, the house was like beaten. I mean, the outside looked just as bad as the inside.
Now, did it get all windy and everything like it did in the beginning of the movie when they went there?
I don't remember it getting windy at all.
I don't think so.
Like it wasn't as dramatic as when Tom Hanks first went over there in the morning.
Right.
No, not like that.
So, yeah, this scene was meant to be a very awkward scene. You know, you meet someone for the first time and you're like, you know, you go through the initial formalities of, oh, hey, how you doing? And then it's kind of like they don't know what to talk about. And Hans brings sardines and pretzels.
I love the added sound effects when Tom Hanks was digging his fingers through the sardine can.
And he was digging and digging and digging and digging and digging. It's like, oh.
Yeah. And he's the only one that ate them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sardines.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
And I think Uncle Reuben came out. You meet Uncle Reuben, who's just a miserable-looking old fella. Yeah.
And a miserable-acting old fella. And he wouldn't stop looking at Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
Suspecting him of writing the note. He was pissed off.
Yeah. As Rumsfeld is like just rummaging through around the room in the house.
Yeah.
I love how he pulls the wallpaper
right
off
the wall. It's like, dude, he doesn't care.
He doesn't. He's like overtly accusing them of like all these things. He doesn't care at all. And then, his brother, Ruben's brother, the doctor, shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as all this is going on, you got, you know, because Art wasn't allowed to come in, so he takes it upon himself. He's going to do a little recon outside by himself.
Dude, I love this because his idea of, like, dressing the part, dressing in all black, is a black bowling shirt. It's like, dude, and he put, like, black stuff all over his face so he would be less conspicuous. It's like, dude.
Yeah, and the doctor, like you said, he comes out, the other brother, with, you know, shakes Tom's hand with what you would think is blood, but it's actually paint, he says, because he likes to paint, makes him relaxed, because he's like this very, important, well-known doctor. What is he, a pathologist or something?
Mm-hmm. Sounds right, yeah.
We find that out, yeah.
Is this the guy that you don't like, Sean?
No, it's Hans I didn't like.
Oh, because of Children of the Corn. I gotcha.
Because, yeah, to tie back to Children of the Corn.
Okay.
But this guy, I know we've seen this. Again, you've seen this guy before.
Oh, yeah, very familiar.
The only one that really didn't seem too familiar, but I guess slightly, was the uncle.
Yeah,
I don't remember him from anything.
So yeah, we have this awkward scene again, and the doctor is more forthcoming with information and talking, telling them, you know, how they've had to move a few times, and this is where I caught the trophy wife is sitting next to Hans, and she says something like, "Oh, this must be terrible for you," or something, and she puts her hand on him and calls him Han. So that was a nice, to me, it was a nice little Star Wars throwback. Because a lot of people call Han or Han.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't meant to be, but see how Carrie Fisher was sitting next to her. That's how I took
Come
it.
On. She didn't say that.
Yeah, she called him Han.
She didn't say Hans?
Maybe she called him Hans. I don't know. Hans is his name. Hans. I don't know.
I think you're seeing what you want to see, Mr. Star Wars.
I think you're right.
These are the droids that you're looking for.
I think you're right. I do try to pull whatever I can out of any movie that's related somehow in some way to Star Wars.
Well, that's okay.
It's a bad habit. And Ray spills his coffee, and so he needs to use the bathroom. But before he does, like you said, Steve, this is when Rumsfeld just lets it all out.
Literally.
On a line,
I can't remember. I can't remember what he said.
He's basically saying, like, stop beating around the bush. What do you got going on in the basement?
Yeah,
or something with all
right.
that noise and,
right.
and racket. And then Tom Hanks has got to use the bathroom. He lets out Marmaduke.
Huge dog.
Which then chases everybody out and ends up chasing Art from the side of the house.
Yeah, and he hits the alarm, falls over the fence. Gotta love Art.
Dude, what kind of alarm system was that?
Yeah, that was pretty shady.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was loud and it was bright.
Trip wires and...
Real bright, yeah. It seemed like it was daytime when those things went off.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and by this point, Tom Hanks or Ray, when they say goodbye, you can tell he's on. He feels like he's on to them now.
Yeah,
he's coming around more to the beliefs of Art and Rumsfeld. And then they go back to the house and they're arguing. You can hear, you know, Rumsfeld is arguing with Carol.
Yeah, they're all just bickering.
And then they get ticked off at Ray because Ray's just sitting there and he agrees with his wife.
Yeah.
Which you got to do. You got to do that. You had to.
Keep the peace.
Yes. And so they're kind of ticked off, but he takes them in the corner. So look, I talked to the guys. And then he, you know, pulls out.
I can't remember the line the lieutenant said, but then it was like he was doing it. Literally, he put his hand up his own shorts, and he's like, whoa, whoa, Ray, Ray, and he pulled out the wig.
Yeah, I think he even said, like, get a set.
Oh, he said, take your balls out of your wife's purse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he starts putting his hand up his shorts, and he pulls out the wig from Walter.
Yeah, and
he tells him he saw it there.
Yeah, and they were like, did you have that in there all day? Like, no, I put it in the mail slot. And when the dog got out, I saw it in between a bunch of boxes.
Magazines with Walter's name on them.
Right. So that was his proof.
At the Klopex house. Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, because he put it back in Walter's house through the mail slot, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying? All right. So he knows that they were in the house again. So at this point, they kind of are making a plan that the next day they are going to go over there. Or he even says he's going to go over there. Ray's like, I'm going over there and dig up some bodies in the backyard or something. Nobody kills an old man in my neighborhood.
Right. Right.
Well, the doctor said they had to go someplace all day. And so they all knew tomorrow's our day. We can get in, look around, dig up the backyard, and find these bodies.
Yeah. So the next morning, I love this part, man. Again, Art coming forth with great comedy in this part where you see the Klopex pull away for the, you know, obviously we think for the day, and Ray sending Carol and his son off, and he's telling him how he's going to be busy playing golf. And then Art, it's like perfect timing. Art comes by with like an old timey golfing outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about his new glove.
Oh, you got a new glove?
A new glove. Because, you know, we are going to be playing golf so much, I'm going to need this glove.
Yeah. That's how much golf we're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't get blisters.
Yeah.
And so then the guys get ready. Or they're getting ready for their, you know, infiltration of the house, I guess. And then you see Ricky calling. There's going to be something. He's on the phone. Like, it's going to be like a house party or something to watch the great event that's going to happen. And so Art's part in this all. So we have Rumsfeld who's going to, we'll get onto him next. Art.
Yes. First, Art has to cut the power to the house so the alarms don't go off. And I can tell you the whole time, I'm not clear what Art's profession is, but it's not working for the power company. That's obvious because he puts on a hard hat, climbs the telephone pole like he knows what he's doing, pulls out a pair of what looks like bolt cutters, and snips one of the lines. And of course, as soon as he snips them, explosion falls back first through a shed, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which leaves a perfect body image crashing through.
Yeah, and I love the fact that when he gets up, he's like, oh, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And you look at his gloves. All of the fingertips are blown off. His fingernails are completely black, and he says that his fillings are hot. Gold, just gold. I love that part.
Yeah.
And awesome. he was the actor in Die Hard that was in the pit that was going to cut the power.
Exactly.
In the Die Hard episode, right.
That was him.
He was like, no. I can just do it then right here. And then he called up on the radio.
Yeah, he was climbing out of the manhole cover when the FBI's Johnson & Johnson told him to cut the power.
It was art. Is that why we did this movie?
Well, it's not why we did it, but I remember... it's probably what put the Burbs back in my head when we were doing that episode.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Reminded me of this movie. So then Rumsfeld, his job is to be... He's perched up and on his roof. Yeah. He's going to be the lookout.
Eating animal crackers. Wow,
he's like Mr. Tough Guy eating animal crackers.
Yeah, I thought that.
He's eating them all like real, I don't know, petitely. You know, like he's holding them real, but he's not like eating the whole one. He's biting little pieces off of it and stuff.
He's enjoying them. Yeah, he's enjoying them up on that roof.
Well, didn't you do that with animal crackers? Like bite their legs off and bite their heads off.
Yes,
I always do.
Totally, man. I still do that when I steal them from the kids.
I'm fat.
There's no other way to eat animal crackers.
I'm fat. I just eat them.
I love animal crackers are really good too.
Well, that's because they're not crackers, but you know, that's another podcast.
Yeah.
Good point.
And so they're digging in the yard and they don't find anything. And you're right, Steve. I don't remember exactly where that part was that he saw them digging in the backyard.
I remember it was raining and he was standing in the window and it was like hard to tell the rain, but he could see they were in the backyard hunched over digging.
When it was lightning, I think that's when he was able to see.
You know what? I think it was the same night. It was the night of the trash when they took the trash out and they said we'll get him in the morning. He was
right.
In the house.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
That's and his right. son actually said he knew that there was three or something and that they dig in the backyard, I think, earlier in the movie at breakfast. But yeah, that's when it happened. We did miss that part. But anyways, they're digging all over. Well, at least Ray is.
Exactly.
Art's like,
this is a lot of work, man. Ugh. And he's like, I'm manning the radio.
Well, he's hot. He wants a drink. And so they're going to go in the basement. Well, they break into
Let's
the house.
Let's first go to the fridge because they probably have cold beer. That's what Art said.
Yeah. And, I like how Tom Hanks is trying to get in with the credit card. He has no idea what he's doing. He just ends up grabbing like some straw from a planter and just punches through the window.
No, first he asks Art for a credit card. He pulls out his wallet. All of his cards are cooked together from the electrical incident. And then Hanks pulls out a card, tries to put it in, cracks it, just leans over, picks up straw, punches out the window. And he's like, Ray, do you know that's breaking and entering, and I'm like, where does this guy all of a sudden get morals about this? Come on.
Right.
Yeah. And they just, I like when they're in the basement, they discover the generator, which is then powering the, you know, because they cut the power off to the house. Right. As soon as they fire up that generator, that, you know, they discover the what's making all the noise and all the bright lights coming out of the basement. Right.
They think it's just an old furnace, and then Art's looking at it. He's looking at the gauge on the furnace. He's like, a consumer furnace. Is that supposed to go up to 5,000 degrees?
Right.
Yeah. And I like how it cuts from there to Rumsfeld on top of the roof. And
Ricky,
he ends up falling.
Ricky screams.
What sets him off?
Ricky, well, I want to say he thinks he hears something. And then when he's starting to get up and starting to move around, Ricky screams, Mr. Rumsfeld! And as soon as he screams it, that's when he just starts to stumble. Falls, rolls, hits, rolls right off the roof.
Yeah, and shoots one of the car's windows as he falls.
Yes, and all of the kids who are now at Ricky's porch for the show just start to applaud and clap.
Yeah, wasn't one of the kids named Dean Koontz or something? Didn't he say his name was...
Yeah, he introduced one of his friends. I can't remember what his name was.
I didn't catch it.
I swear it was like Dean Koontz or something, like a writer's name. But yeah, when he falls, that is just, I can't write what my notes say, but it was definitely classic.
Yes.
Definitely classic part. So they start digging in the basement because, you know, Ray's convinced that after they burn the body, they got to get rid of the bones. They're probably buried in there. They're digging through there. And it cuts to outside. It's been all day. It's at night. And the Klopex start pulling up. And then they see the lights. They notice someone's there. They take off.
Right. And of course, you think they're... nobody sees them pull up and see the lights and pull off. Where Mr. Lou Tennant was supposed to be keeping watch. Don't know why, but he totally missed them.
Yeah, he did.
Well, was that the point where they said they hit something, maybe?
Yeah, and as soon as they hit metal, Art tells Rumsfeld that they found Walter.
We found Walter! We found Walter! Yeah.
Yeah. And then he does notice the car coming up the street, which ends up being Walter coming home. His daughter bringing him home out of the car. So you know he's been gone for some reason. He's probably, you could tell he needs help getting out of the car.
Right.
And, yeah, so they didn't find Walter. And the Klopex end up coming. That's when they come home. And he does notice the Klopex coming home now with the police officers.
Right. And the lieutenant screams to Ricky to stall them. Ricky tries to jump in front of the Klopex and say, stop, stop, stop. Klopex just drive around them going 2 miles an hour. So then Ricky decides to dive on the hood of the police car. No.
Which usually works,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. He would have immediately had cuffs around his wrist. Pretty sure of that. Yeah.
Well, they don't even have time because that's when Ray notices he's hitting something. And it's all full of water and starts bubbling up, and he notices he hits the gas line.
Right, genius.
They get out of there, or Art gets out of there in time, and the house blows up. We have our Cloak and Dagger moment.
Yep. Yes.
This was a much better explosion than Cloak and Dagger.
Well, I wanted to ask you what you thought of the effects of this. I mean, it was a big explosion. The whole house went up.
I had no attention on it. Like, I was fine with me. I liked it. I liked the effects. Thought they were pretty good.
Well, I love the fact that the wind main at the top blew off, like popped off, and it landed, went right through the hood of the cop car. I thought that was great.
That was good. And then when Ray comes stumbling out, are we up to that part yet?
Yep.
Oh, dude,
I love how he comes stumbling out.
Exactly.
And falls down the step, like he just slides down those three steps. He's all like pretty much fried.
Oh, yeah.
And then the whole front of the house falls down behind him. That was great special effects.
That was good. I love that slide down the steps thing. I used to be able to do that as a kid. Like, three or four steps, boom, 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 boom. And he just pulled it off like he was just discombobulated, the explosion. And Art just walks up to him and looks at the house. The house just starts to crumble behind him.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, did you get him? Did you get him? You know, did you get the dead body? Whatever. No. You know. And then that's where everybody thinks that's the climax of the movie. The explosion,
right.
All this bad stuff happened. Well, they're not really bad. He just hit a gas line. Cops, ambulances, everybody just is going crazy there. And of course, Ray's wife pulls
Carol
up.
Comes
exactly.
Home. And she's, you know, she's just concerned. He's got that bandage on his face, and he played this part off.
Oh,
perfect,
yeah.
I thought. I loved it. This was classic.
And after
Hanks.
He just turned to her and said, "You got a haircut. I like it."
I think this whole, from this point to the end of the movie, is classic Tom Hanks comedy.
Yeah,
I think it was awesome.
Yeah.
And him and Art have a great interaction because Art is still convinced that there's, you know, the body in the basement, and the cop tells, you know, Art that basically where Walter's been.
Yeah,
this whole time. He's been in the hospital, and that the Klopex were getting his mail. That's the reason why the mail and the toupee supposedly were at the Klopex house. And you're right. When he tells his wife he likes her haircut, or this is when he tells her that he really likes it after the police is like telling him every single felony that he's being charged right. with, you know,
including kidnapping a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just doesn't care. He just, and that's when he looks at Carol and says, I really do like your hair or something. But, this part I love where Art and Ray get into their argument and Ray just goes off, you know, telling him to leave him alone. They're the bad ones.
Right.
The Klopex were innocent. They didn't leave him alone. They're those crazy cut their lawn all the time, you know, neighbors.
Right.
When they start fighting and Art is biting Ray's wrapped
exactly.
thing. He's got like the metal splint on his hand.
Yeah. And Art bites it. Gotta love it.
Yeah. Because he's telling them like, they didn't do anything, that they did it wrong. And Art's just like, well, what do you want me to do? Move? And it just sets Tom Hanks off. So that scene was, I thought, a classic scene. It was great. And Ray's had enough.
Well, yeah. And then this was, to me, the best part. Ray freaking out, laying down on the stretcher and says, take me to the hospital. I was in an explosion. And then he gets mad. Gets up, stands up, picks up the entire stretcher, throws it in the back of the ambulance, dives on it in the back of the ambulance and says, take me to the hospital. I'm sick.
Yeah, it was good physical comedy right there.
Yeah.
Because he's struggling with the gurney and everything. He's ready to just throw in a towel.
Yeah.
It was, it's probably my favorite scene, other than the tan line.
Yeah.
But of course, then the doctor gets in the back of the ambulance and kind of goes on his
monologue.
Whole monologuing, yes, exactly. Of he doesn't believe Ray. He thinks Ray's putting on a show, saying that they didn't, you know, do anything wrong,
right?
Because he knows he was in the basement and saw his furnace.
You might have fooled your friends, but you did not fool me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like,
it was funny.
And it's true. He's like, surely you looked in the furnace. And Tom Hanks is like, oh, actually, I didn't.
Right, exactly. I love that.
Yeah, what does he say? A man's furnace is a man's furnace or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
probably.
Yeah, so here he is, like, genuinely like, dude, I didn't think anything of it. And the guy's
right.
like, thinks he's on to him. So he's going to. He let him keep the femur. He said that dog, the bone that the dog got, but he wants a skull and he wants his skull. And then Hans is the one driving or attempting to drive this ambulance out of this neighborhood.
Yeah. And they just try to take off, spin wheels. Hanks reaches up, grabs Hans. The van starts going a little bit out of control. He's fighting off the doctor with a huge syringe in his hands and trying to pull Hans and fighting off Hans. And they literally go through the front of a house in the van with the cops and the ambulances and everybody just sitting there watching. They're like, this has just gotten even crazier.
It was Art's house.
And
house.
It turned out to be, of course, Art's house, yes. Which I thought was just a nice touch.
Is this when Art's wife comes home?
Almost. And then the stretcher falls out of the back of the ambulance with the doctor and Tom Hanks on it. Takes a right turn for no reason in the middle of the street, goes down the street, they're fighting, down the street, they're fighting. It hits the Klopex car. They fall off each side of the stretcher. Tom Hanks stands up, citizens arrest, citizens arrest. He just tried to murder me, citizens arrest. And his wife is like, Ray, no, citizens arrest. And the doctor's like, well, I don't know what they're talking about. There's no proof. And Ricky, when they hit the car, the trunk opened. Ricky picks up like a blanket in the back of the trunk and says, well, you got proof now. Big reveal. The trunk is packed to the rim with human bones.
So
that was just a good series of events, I thought, because that was the ultimate turn, because we were also, as people watching the movie, starting to think that the family was just fine. These people are crazy.
Right.
And
I thought so. In this viewing, I thought that too. I'm like, oh yeah, they're, you know, They were it's the clope. Nothing wrong with the Clopex. They're fine.
Right.
But because I forgot how it ended.
Same here.
I forgot. I thought for some reason that the ambulance just kind of like took off. I forgot even about this part. I forgot about it crashing into the house. I thought for some reason like the ambulance just takes off and it's kind of like that's the end. But
right.
It's definitely, that was a good reveal that we know now that they actually were the murderers and they get caught. And because and that's the other thing he tells them in the van, that the naps.
They wouldn't sell the house to the Clopex. So what, he killed them all?
Yeah, so they killed him and took the house. So, they get arrested. I like how, you know, well, Ray and Carol make up, and he agrees, like, he needs a vacation.
Yeah, we're going to the lake.
And Art gets all ticked off, and he's telling him another sign of the times, how Geraldo Rivera is going to come and excavate the Clopex basement.
Yes.
I thought that was another good time stamp.
That was good, and I loved what I believe came immediately next was Art speaking to a local news reporter. He just started going off. The reporter asked him something like, what does this mean to your community or something like that? And he's like, people in the suburbs, we used to just cut our grass, mow our lawns, you know, walk our dogs. Well, this is sending a message to everybody out there that we're not going to take it anymore. We're not just going to do this kind of things. We're going to protect our neighborhood. It's like, oh, Art, you're nuts.
Well, it could have been the start of the neighborhood watch in his area.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a result of all this.
And I believe right then and about there was when Art's wife pulled up and somebody screamed to him, hey, Art, it was Ricky, I believe, screamed to him, hey, Mr. Art, your house is on fire and your wife's home. And he just says, my wife's home.
Yeah, he didn't even care about his house.
Right.
Yeah, and then nice ending. Tom Hanks or Ray tells Ricky to keep an eye on the neighborhood. And
gives him a wink.
Yeah. And he tells him he will, and then we get the reverse pan out.
Well,
from the suburbs.
We get the fourth wall, I think it is again, fourth wall, where Ricky turns right to the camera and says, I love this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can see it being a nice, entertaining neighborhood for a kid that age.
Y'all.
But yeah, that's the, that is the end of the Burbs. But, I think it's, for me, definitely held up just as well as it did when I remember watching it. I was probably like, I don't know, young teenager when I saw it. And saw it a few times on HBO. Everything HBO. But definitely, you know, saw it over the years on HBO. I liked it. Steve, now you said you weren't sure if you had seen, you didn't think you had seen it before.
Yeah, I did see it. I did see it. But I must have only seen it once or twice because I don't remember anything that happened in it. But I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like nonstop. I was totally interested in it. It was, for me, it was okay in parts. For some reason, it just, I don't know, the chemistry wasn't there, or they maybe went a little over the top, and I don't know. It was a good idea. It was executed pretty well, and it was a pretty good movie, I would say.
I think the only parts that probably were that seemed a little too long for me was the when they went and met the Clopex and they were in the house with the awkwardness and everything like that, and even the ending, the whole fighting in the ambulance and that
just went on too long. You think?
I thought so. For me, I mean, like I said before, we're not.
Yeah, I mean, he's spazzing out and he's fighting Art, and then it should have ended, and then Art says something, so he starts fighting him again. Yeah, that went on a little too long.
I like that scene if maybe at that point the trunk maybe would have been revealed of what's in the trunk instead of the ambulance scene.
Right.
Yes, it was funny how he got in, but maybe, you know, after Art and him had their, like, kind of tiffed and everything, their fight, maybe somehow that's when I thought would have been a better ending for me.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But overall,
what do you think, Dora?
Overall, I like the movie. I do agree, like, the pace was a little off on it. I could not point my finger at what in this movie didn't click right, but I know something didn't click right. The casting was good. The characters were good. The story was a little almost disjointed, it seemed like. But it wasn't. It was just weirdly manipulated. And I will say, this is the kind of movie I think I can almost relate to as a kid. You know what I mean? Where if this was, you know, my neighborhood right now, which neighbor would I be? And I'm sorry to say, I think I'd be Art.
That would be an interesting neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I kind of like my in-laws. So maybe not Art. I definitely wouldn't climb up a telephone pole and clip a wire, let me tell you that.
No, I wouldn't either. But I thought of this as being a kid as well. I mean, we had a house where there was a guy there who was, you know, quote, the crazy guy that, you know, we had stories about. He really was a little kind of crazy. some of the adults, including my father, had a run-in with this guy. So, you know, like I said in the beginning, I think a lot of neighborhoods have this feel. You got that house, you got those, you always have those certain types of neighbors. So I think it played well as it's just America across the board, the suburbs of America. You know, people could relate to this.
Yeah, there was a lot of aspects of the suburbs that they did put in there, and they like greatly exaggerated a lot of them, but they were still there. You know what I mean? So yeah. I agree.
But they get exaggerated in the suburbs, you know, just like particularly this house. I mean, it turns out that they really were, you know, murderers, but you know, just like that house on your normal street, it's always portrayed a lot worse than what it is, or the stories are worse, or
yeah,
you know. So, but I mean, Tom Hanks again, he's a great actor. I mean, he can do serious dramas, comedies, everything in between. Yeah, I really enjoy his work.
Uh-huh. He is great. Comedy, facial expressions, whatever part he needs to play, he does it well. He's just such a pro. I like him too.
Yeah, and Corey Feldman, like I said, totally just his kind of role. Over the top, but you know, I think most of his roles a lot of times are as well, where he's kind of like that odd, dorky but cool kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what it is. I don't know. When he kept going off about the pizza dude, I mean, it was only like a pizza delivery guy, but he was talking about him like he was God. Like nobody should leave because the pizza dude's coming. He's freaking out.
Well, I'll just say, when the ambulance with Tom Hanks in it was trying to get away, it cut off the pizza van off of the road, and it turned out the pizza van literally had like 50 frigging pizzas in it.
Yeah.
I thought that, well, that's now, crazy.
Was this like at the end of Corey? Because Corey Feldman was like all chummy with Jackson, right? Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Was this like the tail end of it or something? Because I mean, his leather jacket, I had it in my notes.
Yeah, man. That was a leather.
I think it might have been the beginning of it. Was this the beginning of it? I don't know if he was chummy with him at this point, because he would wear the glove in the movies and stuff even.
Yeah, he was definitely into Jackson. They were buddies, I guess. I don't know.
And I looked
speculation.
I looked up the trophy wife after the movie, and she was also in Interspace.
Yeah,
she was the girl who worked. Yeah, she was the girl who worked at the checkout with that. He was going to go with that. What's his name? What's the skinny guy's name?
Martin Short.
Well, it was
Martin Short. He was going to go out on a date with her. That's that. She was like a slutty girl.
All I know is she was hot.
In the Burbs?
In the Burbs. And in Interspace, I don't remember her being ugly.
She wasn't ugly.
Yeah.
But in Interspace, she was much hotter. I mean, she wore nicer things in the Burbs.
She told she had that 80s, early 90s poof hair, which it's funny. My wife always makes fun of me, not make fun of me, but for my girlfriend in high school that I dated for a few years, who she always pointed out she had the poof, you know, the mall poof hair or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking about that when I saw that, the poof.
You know,
how hard and how long they would work on those things and how much Aquanet would go into those.
Yeah, well, I'll say one thing about this movie I do find interesting. If you go to IMDb and look up the top 20 people in the movie, they all say they're known for The Burbs. So I'll say at least this was an important movie for a lot of actors' careers because they're highlighted as this as being one of their like hallmark movies. And this is everybody. From the Garbage Men, Hans, even Uncle Reuben, who I kind of recognize now. He was one of the voices in the original Hobbit from 1977. And he kind of looked like it too. So I guess that makes sense.
I did not notice that.
Thor, you noticed that just because you read it on IMDb.
Well, and I believe it when I hear like sloppy,
such full of crap.
No, when I
oh this I remember
no,
this.
I said
from
kind
him.
Of. Go back and listen. Jeez, because
I caught Thor.
His sloppy mouthing. I can definitely picture as a voice in The Hobbit.
Okay, I'll give that to you. Steve won't.
No.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
That's okay.
What about Carrie Fisher? Was this what she's well known for?
No, not her or Tom Hanks. I said most.
You know what? Other than Steve last week, I've never talked to anybody or not that I talk about The Burbs all the time, but that's ever not known what it is or not seen it. Because as a matter of fact, I've said before, like I watch a lot of stuff at work on break. And I've had a couple guys walk by and be like, hey, The Burbs. Yeah, The Burbs.
Yeah.
So really, I don't know why I didn't see it. Because I watched a lot of movies when I was a kid. It's only like when I was growing up where I like stopped watching them for some reason, or as many. But we had HBO. I was all over cable. Maybe I was watching the Flyers games instead. I was definitely watching some hockey.
The Flyers, is that the Broad Street Bully? No, is that Boston?
Yeah, that's Broad Street Bully.
Is it Philly?
Yeah. They were crazy.
Yeah, we had some good playoffs with the Sabres, but this ain't the hockey podcast. So, yeah, you know what, though? There's a lot of movies, man, that if I completely forgot, but if I see the title, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I remember seeing that a ton on HBO.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them are, you know, just like I had said in Top Secret, like I saw it a lot. But I saw it in parts, catch it in different parts, so I guess I could put it all together. But I've never seen a lot of the movies fully through. Yeah, so it's kind of nice. That's why I like doing this, man. I can watch, you know,
whole movies.
Top Secret was not my favorite, but it was all right when I watched it. It was good for what it was, I guess you could say.
Well, let's see what you think about next week's movie.
Speaking of next week's movie, what is it? You want to announce what next week's movie is?
Next week's movie is Over the Top. I don't know what year it was in. It was definitely in the 70s.
No, Over the Top is a Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie.
Sorry. That's right.
Hey, some people could be like, I love that movie, man.
Yeah,
when he
some
drinks
people,
from the drinks the oil.
I know, but
and when some people might have unsubscribed just now.
With the hat turn around.
It's called Over the Edge. It's Matt Dillon's debut movie and a bunch of other kids. I don't know. They might be famous now. I have no clue who they are. But this was definitely a 70s movie. Cause it,
79, yeah.
79, yeah. And that's what we're going to be doing next week.
Yeah, so we'll see. I have not watched it in a long time. But that movie always stood out to me for the closing scenes of the movie and the music that closed the movie. Yeah, I forget the name of the song. Ooh, Child, something like that. Things Are Gonna Get Easier.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when this came in my head a couple of weeks ago, I had that song playing. I can remember a particular scene at the end, and I could not put together what movie it was.
Ah.
And I put a call on Twitter, and Rob O'Hara like instantly was like, up over the edge. I was like, sweet. So I could look
it up
on IMDb.
Did you just describe the scene, like what you remembered of it?
I did. I described, you know, I think I described like kids in a bus going to juvie with Ooh Child, Things Are Going to Get Easier playing. And like within 10 minutes, Rob O'Hara responded to it.
That's a good idea for a service, paid service.
What, to do that, to get information through Twitter?
Or not Twitter, by like any, go to a website and just type in what you remember of a movie, and then some smart guy like him will answer and say it's from this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I if I would have typed that into Google, I probably would have got it. But as you guys know, where I work in a factory, the data reception is horrible. So it's a lot easier to do a tweet than to try and get on the internet and search it out and do that. So we'll see how this movie is. It's kind of a kids go wild in their town type of movie. From what I remember, things get a little out of control. A little, they go over the edge. Was that Matt Dillon's first movie?
Pretty sure, yeah. I think.
Was it?
According to IMDb, I'm pretty sure I looked at it. Dor's zooming in on his freaking stomach on the cover art of the movie.
I'm just, because
he's got
slightly...
a jean jacket shirt on and a cut off. I mean, what do you call that? Is that a tank?
A half shirt.
Those were still kicking around in the 80s. I remember my brother used to wear mesh half shirts.
Yeah, mesh half shirts.
I never.
Usually with some numbers on them from like a fake team.
Yeah, like blue, and it had a number, and he had his feathered, greasy hair.
I'll just say I'm just mildly freaked out by that cover.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody wants to watch that movie before next week, it is on YouTube. I think it's in about 7 parts. I did play a little bit of it. The quality looked pretty well. So, Over the Edge, 1979. Check it out on YouTube, and you should be able to find it there. But anything else, you guys, on the Burbs?
No.
You guys are all set. Yeah, I think we did as well. Well, I'm glad we did it. It was a good movie. It was fun. Kind of a no-brainer watch. But, Steve, why don't you tell everybody where they can catch anything of yours that you got going on?
Go to stevecherubino.com. Steve, CHERUBINO.com. Anything I'm doing, I'll probably be a link to it on that site. So check it out.
Very cool. And how about you, Dor?
Thank you for spelling that, Steve. Good man. For me, just go to podnuts.com, or you can hit me off on Google Plus. My name is Stephen McLaughlin. It's phonetically Stefan McLaughlin. Good luck.
For me, just go to throwbackreviews.com. Click the host link, and there's a link to my blog, which has got my Twitter and Google Plus if you want to go check that out. But I would like to thank Pixel 8 for the intro and outro music. You can find more of his music, his 8-bit music, soundcloud.com/retropeachy. If you would like to leave us a comment on iTunes, that would be great. And you can follow us at Throwback Review on the Twitter. So, that ends up this episode of Throwback Reviews. Until next time, thanks for listening.